Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Adam, would you like to tell us that Brad's on the phone or not?
He is supposed to be on the phone.
Punch him up there.
I guess something's going on
here.
Oh, there we go. Brad, you a coffee guy, Brad?
Huge coffee guy, yep.
Yeah, me too. Black coffee. I'm like a truck stop coffee guy. I'll drink. The worse it looks, the better it is for me. Black all the time. It's how I like it. Nothing in it. Let's go.
I agree on the black all the time, but I will drink any coffee, but a good bougie coffee every once in a while definitely hits.
Look at you. Like French press guy, all that stuff. All right, let's get down to business here, Brad. Deshaun Watson, what's the next step in the evolution of all this? Where does it go? How long does it take, and how does it end?
You know, I thought last night's report from Aaron Wilson was kind of sad and kind of frustrating, I think, if you're a player. And let me get the whole thing out here first. Where they basically came out and said they want to have a verbal appeal to this new disciplinary officer, and they don't want to follow the procedure. And I say it's frustrating because, look, I'm not talking about the case at hand, but you went into the CBA negotiations in 2020, and I think the players got absolutely destroyed in so many different areas in this CBA. And one thing they used a lot of bargaining capital and political capital on in this negotiation was they hated that Roger Goodell was the judge, jury, and executioner of the commissioner discipline, and that he kind of made all the decisions willy-nilly, however he saw fit. And so when you get something in a negotiation, obviously you have to give. And so they used a lot of power to get this new process, and now they hate the process, right? So this appeal is only written appeals. Both sides submitted their documents. This guy is only supposed to read these documents and then read Judge Sue Robinson's document and then make his decision. And apparently they're trying to convince the league to let them speak in person and make a verbal appeal. So nevertheless, what's going to happen is he's going to read these documents. I think we'll see a decision this week. But I think the larger takeaway is just what a waste for the players in the NFLPA to get this new process. And the first time it comes up, they're trying to change the rules already.
Brad, chances that Jimmy Garoppolo gets signed to the Browns?
I think he'd have to be cut. So, I mean, you said sign, yes. Yeah. So trade is not going to happen. I do think it's possible. You know, I think if he gets cut, there's just not a market for him, really. So even if he may be worth more than this, I don't see how a team's going to step up and give him more than, let's say, 1 year, $10 to $12 million, maybe with a bunch of incentives that can boost that up if he hits certain parameters. And then he tries to hit the market and cash in next year. And, yeah, I don't see why Cleveland would not be in the market there if it's a – you know, let's say it goes to 10 games or 12 games. I think with 6 games, they're fine with Brissett. But as soon as it gets into 10, 12 games, I think they would explore bringing in a guy like Garoppolo.
Well, what's keeping the Niners from moving on this, Brad? Is it the market? Is it the fact that they're hoping they can actually get something in a trade, that somebody's interested enough in taking on Garoppolo and his cap hit, that they'll make that trade? Or is it simply just waiting for somebody to get hurt somewhere? Is there still a chance that they can capitalize on the dwindling Jimmy Garoppolo market?
So I do think they're holding out hope that someone will trade with them. But you just look around the NFL, and there just aren't openings for a starting quarterback. And obviously, no one's going to pay a ton in a trade for a backup quarterback. So I think they are holding out. I mean, yeah, we are getting injuries across the NFL. It is a part of the game. So maybe they're holding out hope. Maybe it's a bad way to put it. But, you know, they want to see if someone maybe gets injured and they can step up. And secondly, frankly, my cynical view, I think the number one team in the NFL that makes the most sense is the Seattle Seahawks. They're the only team now that you can say they absolutely need a new starting quarterback in the, you know, for this season. And so maybe San Fran says, look, we're going to hold on to him as long as humanly possible. If nothing comes up, we'll cut him, you know, August, you know, on cutdown day in August 30th. And then if Seattle does bring him aboard, he's not going to be ready to actually play until, you know, week four, week five, once he learns the playbook and meets the players and yada, yada. So I do. I think they're just kind of playing a cat and mouse game at this point and just saying, hey, if no one's going to pay us, then we'll just hold on to him as long as humanly possible.
Do you think the Browns will be a playoff team with Jimmy G?
Yeah. I mean, you look at their schedule. We talked about last time I was on. It's a little bit easy in the beginning. It's kind of three easy wins there. And then, you know, I think you just – if you get Deshaun Watson back and maybe gets hot and finishes the season strong as well, I think they could sneak in as a wild card. I don't think he would be able to win this division. I think, you know, one of the other three teams would probably be able to win the division if Garoppolo is the starter. But I do think they have the ability to be a wild card team in the AFC.
Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. All right, pluses versus minuses. Deontay Johnson essentially taking a bridge deal, as opposed to waiting for a year, playing through this, and then maybe getting a bigger deal at the end of this year. I like where he positioned himself. What about you?
I agree that, you know, it's not a bad thing to get $36.7 million with $27 million of that guaranteed, but this is a slam dunk home run signing for Omar Khan. This should make every Steelers fan optimistic about the future and very happy and thinking they're in good hands with the new GM. Obviously, he's been there for a very long time. But, I mean, you look at this deal, even Christian Kirk is making more money over the first 2 years of his deal. But guys like DK Metcalf and Deebo Samuel will make $54 million through the second year of their deal. Deontay Johnson under $37 million through his two-year deal. So, I mean, just not even close to the other guys in the market. And I came on and I said, look, I don't think he's going to get $23, $24 million, but him getting 2 years, $40 million maybe, you know, I thought was more realistic. And so, you know, he does trail some of those guys in certain statistics. I pulled a bunch of stuff up, but, you know, he's top 10 in yards after the catch, top 10 in yards after contact, actually third in the amount of missed tackles he forces in open space, but then 35th in explosive receptions. Kupp, Adams, Diggs, Moore, Godwin, McLaurin, and Metcalf are all top 10 in that metric since 2019. So some areas where he trails them, but, you know, is that Big Ben? It's just, I think it's so fascinating that I do think Omar Khan kind of convinced him, you know, your production, the volume of it was based on the fact that Big Ben was throwing the ball in 2 seconds. And we don't really think that, you know, you're a dynamic, game-changing playmaker. You're a very, very good player, but we don't view you in that upper echelon, even if some of your stats do measure up. And I think they convinced him of that. And so, anyway, I think it is a win-win for both parties, but I think this is a home run deal for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Brad, is Cam Hayward severely underrated? Like, whenever you think of Cam Hayward, do you put him in the category of Aaron Donald?
He's criminally underrated. Absolutely. I don't know. You know, I do think Aaron Donald is just a different beast. You know, I think he honestly is on a track to be maybe the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL. But we say this a lot. Like, if there wasn't an Aaron Donald, we would be talking so much more about Cam Hayward. I think you maybe kind of throw Chris Jones in that mix a little bit as well. Guys that just no one talks about because of Aaron Donald. But, yes, Cam Hayward, you know, it's crazy, too. He signed his deal about $16 million per year when he was 32 years old. And I'm thinking, well, you know, he's pretty old. And he had graded above 90, you know, since he signed that deal. So he is. He is a freak. He is so, so, so good. And I do think he is underappreciated across the league.
Brad Spielberger, pardon me, Pro Football Focus with us here on the Fan Morning Show. The Steelers have a handful of guys listed behind Najee Harris on the depth chart. Brad, Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland, Jaylen Warren, Mateo Durant, Master Teague recently brought in. Is any one of those guys going to be enough if Najee Harris goes down? Are they prepared with a proper contingency plan behind him?
I do not think so, no. I mean, the way the Pittsburgh Steelers operate, they're one of the few teams in the NFL that still kind of goes with the workhorse running back, right? I mean, Najee had so much volume last year. We now see a lot of teams with this committee approach. And I'm not saying that, you know, they're wrong in going about that. But if you're going to have the system where the guy that has to come in needs to be able to pass block and catch balls and obviously run the rock, I don't think any of those guys are really dynamic three-down players behind him. So even if you're bringing in a guy that doesn't have the, you know, the ceiling of a guy like Najee, or he's not as good in one facet as some of the guys behind him, I think they need to look on the market potentially, you know, to have a guy in place maybe look at some of the trade options, not saying Kareem Hunt in division, but, you know, maybe out in Las Vegas if they want to move on from a Kenyon Drake or something like that. I don't think Josh Jacobs is available. But nevertheless, I think they should be looking around and keeping an eye on things. Maybe they don't need to make a move now. But, no, I think if he goes down, that is a big problem.
Do you look at George Pickens as potentially a massive steal for the Steelers? I know that many said after the draft they liked him maybe as their number one wide receiver. Meanwhile, he went 11th in terms of wide receivers in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a phenomenal talent. You look at some of his play tape at Georgia, obviously didn't get to play a ton because of the injury, but, I mean, you could just tell he was different, right? I mean, sometimes you watch tape and you just say, I mean, this guy just looks different than the rest of the guys on the field, and that's against top-end SEC competition at Georgia. So, I do, you know, obviously there were some question marks that came up during his pre-draft process, but from a pure talent standpoint on the football field, yeah, I think if he doesn't tear that ACL, he might be one of the first wide receivers off the board in that first round.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Brad Spielberger. Brad, last thing for you. You look at the quarterback situation here, and it's like all people in Pittsburgh are talking about, and rightly so, because you always talk about the quarterbacks. How much, and I want to pry deep into your brain here. I want the honest opinion from you. It's week 10 or so. Who's the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and how does this all play out? And then it's the start of next year. Who's the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and how does this all play out? Mitchell Trubisky's on a two-year deal. Is he here for the long term, at least 2 years or not? What's the story?
Yeah, Steeler Nation, welcome to, you know, what the Chicago Bear fans have been doing every season for the last, you know, 28 years I've been alive. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't think Trubisky is a long-term option. I think it's basically a one-year deal couched as a two-year deal. And, you know, shout out Brooke Pryor, ESPN, who I think does a great job covering the team. Her timeline from practice is scary. It's sad. I mean, you read some of these stuff, and yes, it's early. The defense is always ahead of the offense in camp, especially in Pittsburgh with this defense. But, I mean, it just sounds like he can't even get things done in practice. I'm all too familiar with some of those reports on him, unfortunately. So, look, I think he will start the year. I think he will not have a short leash. I think he will get some runway. By week 10, frankly, it could be Kenny Pickett if they think he's ready. It could be Mason Rudolph if he says, look, how am I any worse than this Trubisky kid that you brought in? I think anything is on the table. But then next year, I think it's Kenny Pickett's team. I think they will give him a full offseason. Even if they have some question marks, kind of like a Trey Lance situation, they'll say, look, he's obviously not that much worse than any of these guys we can maybe bring in. Let's get him game reps, get him live reps against NFL teams besides our own defense, and give him the runway. So this year, though, I think anything goes, and it does not sound great so far, you know, coming out of camp.
Real quick, Brad, before we let you run, are they going to be able to get anything for Mason Rudolph in a trade between now and either the start of the regular season or before the trade deadline?
It's a cheap one-year deal, so maybe you get like a sixth-round pick, but I think that goes more to, frankly, just the lack of need, right? So, you know, guys like Kyle Allen a couple years ago went for a fifth-round pick. There are situations where it happens, but I just think right now we're in a situation where both at starter and at backup, like every team seems to have one or two guys in their building. They may not be great players, but, you know, I'm not sure if Rudolph is perceived as having a ton of upside. I think he's a quality backup, one of the maybe not better backup, you know, a top 15 backup in the NFL, but I'm just not sure there's a market for that, really.
Who's the worst team in the NFL?
Oh, I think the Atlanta Falcons are the worst team in the NFL. I really think they could win like two or three games this year. You know, Marcus Mariota just has not been able to stay healthy. Their offensive line is terrible. They probably have the worst defense in the NFL. And I like Pitts and London on the outside as receivers, but I think their roster is awful.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.